Good afternoon. Thank you for coming to this memorial for Dick Winkler. We are going to begin a service at 12:30. In preparation for that service, we're going to let the family go back to a family room that we've prepared for them at this time. So if you are in line, I know you came to see Gene and to remember Dick, and you've done that by your presence here today. But if you are going to stay for the service, I would encourage you to find a place to sit. Some extra chairs are going to be brought in as needed. We're going to need the reserve section over here, the first seven, eight rows that are marked for family that are going to go down so they can come back up. So fill in. There's a lot of room up front over here, and there will be other chairs brought in the back. So if you're in line now, please leave the line and let the family members go back. And you can start playing.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, sit down. Please rise. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of sitting with Dick for a couple of hours. I had my Bible, and I said, "Dick, what would you like me to read?" And he said, "Psalm 23. You'll remember that it says, 'The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.'" John wrote about heaven in the revelation that we call the revelation of Jesus Christ. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' He that sat on the throne said, 'He said to me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.
He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then the Apostle Paul wrote to a church that was confused about death and what happened after it. And he said to them, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them, those who are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Dick had the privilege, not all of us have this privilege, but it's a severe privilege, if you will, of knowing that he was going to die. And as he spoke of this day, he said, "I want it to be a celebration." It's hard, but we're going to do our best to make it just that. We sorrow and grieve for our loss today, but we're going to celebrate God's goodness in giving us this good husband, father, brother, grandfather, boss, fellow worker, fellow employee, servant, and friend, Dick Winkler. And we're going to celebrate his faith in Jesus Christ. Richard Carroll Winkler, at the age of 77, lost an all-too-short battle with cancer with his family at his side. He went peacefully to be with his Lord and Savior on Sunday, October 23rd, 2016. Just so happens it was about the time that our church family was finishing our evening service, and we always close by singing a chorus, "We'll Never Say Goodbye in Glory." Born in Wapaka, he was the firstborn son of the late Carol and Beverly Winkler, inspirational brother of Cheryl, Don, and Candace. For 58 years, he was the loving and devoted husband of his high school sweetheart, Jean Meyer. He was the proud father of Greg, Pam, and Todd. The Winklers have 8 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, and one more on the way. Dick proudly served in the U.S. Army from 1958 to 1961, both in Texas and Germany. He was employed at the Cops Corporation for over 41 years. He managed the Oshkosh Cops for 26 years and then came to Fond du Lac for 5 years, retiring. But you know, and it was with Dick, he had trouble being retired. Retiring at age 65, I think he got busier. After retirement, he worked part-time at Holiday Inn doing things like planting flowers, painting, decorating. He was active in the Fond du Lac Noon Rotary. He was a very active member of Trinity Baptist Church. He held many different positions of serving. At his passing last week, he was a member of our leadership team, the ministry committee. His favorite job was that of church host, greeting people. He loved to talk to people, hear their stories, share what he'd learned, encourage them. He loved Wisconsin sports, Packers, Brewers, Badgers, and he loved his family and anything that involved them. Dick and Jean loved to travel. One of the highlights of my life was getting to go to Israel with Dick and Jean. And what a great time we had. Some of my favorite pictures are pictures of Dick and I standing in different sites in Israel. His children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren were his pride and joy. Family meant everything to him. All that know this man know of his love and devotion to God. This servant-hearted man was a sinner saved by grace who lived to reflect his Savior in all he did, tending to the needs and of others above himself every day. His selfless life and unconditional love were a beautiful picture of Christ. His was a life well lived in faith and obedience to God and a legacy to leave in the hearts of those who have known him and loved him. This kind and caring man will be missed by all who knew him. You know, obituaries always fall short. I always get done reading one of these things and I go, you know, there should be more. And it doesn't matter how good a job those who wrote the obituaries did, and those who wrote this one did an exceptionally good, great job. But there's just no way you can express in an obituary all the good things that Dick Winkler was to so many people. To me personally, Dick was an enthusiastic supporter of Trinity Baptist Church. He would often tell me, "Pastor, Trinity Baptist Church and Trinity Baptist School are the best kept secrets in Fond du Lac. What are we going to do about that?" He wanted everyone to know about the school that he loved and the church that he loved. He was a faithful participant of everything that went on here. Dick and Jean could be counted on to be present all the time. For many years, Dick and I and a couple others met every Thursday morning at 6 o'clock, and we'd spend an hour together in prayer in my office, and then we'd go to Oasis and spend another hour, and Dick always insisted on picking up the bill. After he retired, that was his Holiday Inn money. He spent it on feeding me, and I don't know if I should be thankful for that or not, but I know I enjoyed it a lot. He was an encourager, an uplifter. I've had men come up to me in recent days saying, he was like my dad. I mean, we're talking about not this group of people, the family. I'm talking about people who are part of Trinity Baptist Church. More than anyone I've ever met, Dick Winkler personified the Christ-like characteristic of servanthood. I would be vacuuming. They would show up for church. Dick and Jean would to greet. They'd be early here on a Sunday morning, and I'd be vacuuming the front steps. And Dick would say, "Pastor, let me do that." And he would take the vacuum cleaner away from me and leave me standing there with nothing to do but, I guess, talk to Jean. Great servant's heart, wanting to do what needed to be done to be a blessing to somebody else. That was Dick Winkler to me. Mostly, he was a friend to me, to my wife, to our family. He was never afraid of saying, "We love you. I love you." And for that, I will be ever thankful for Dick Winkler. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. This good family, four different members of the family are going to speak. There are both good friends and family members who are going to sing. A granddaughter is going to read a text from Scripture. And then my associate pastor Jeremy Schaefer, is going to read the text that I'm going to preach from, and then I'm going to preach a short sermon. I've been told that if it gets too long, that there's people are going to remind me that I said short. So we're going to be here about an hour. But let me tell you, I think it's going to be an hour of value in your life as you remember what and think of a life well lived and what difference that should make to you. I'm not going to introduce the different people who are going to minister to you today. Maybe the speakers will introduce themselves, and they have a program so they know what's happening next. I'm going to ask God's blessing on this service, and then remember with me what God has done in the life of Dick Winkler. Holy Father, as we come to this service, it is with great sorrow. The finality of death, the permanence of it, is intimidating to us. We don't understand it completely, and so we yearn for something else. And we know, according to your word, that there is something else. Regardless of the faith, outside of Christendom, everybody wonders what happens after death. And God, you've revealed in your word to us that there is another day and another place. And so today, we yearn for that day and we yearn for that place. God, I pray that you would bless what happens here. May it be in good honoring of Dick and his life. And may it bring glory to Jesus Christ. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Need my emergency bottle of water just in case. My name's Greg. My dad would have described me as the twin, the soccer coach, the guy that moved to Florida. It is a celebration, so I'm trying to remember that as I go through this little thing about my dad. While talking with my brother, Todd, some of our fondest early memories of our dad were the countless hours we played football in the backyard and basketball in the driveway. Dad was always a quarterback, and Todd and I would run routes and we'd cover each other for hours. Dad's arm would never tire, especially when I was the Packers, because Todd was always a Rams. And the Packers always had to win, so I always got the last chance. I had a lot of conversations with my dad over the years about his career path. He was a great manager, and I often thought that he wanted me to pursue that line of work as well. I chose to teach, and my dad often told me that he wished he would have had the opportunity to be a teacher. He would have loved to teach agriculture in high school. What he didn't realize was he had become a teacher, and he'd never written a lesson plan, but he taught his kids, his grandkids, his employees, his friends, his community members, and all the members of the churches that he attended, and anybody that came in contact with him. He taught them love. His devotion to my mom for 58 years was a testament of that love. He always told Todd and I that when we ever found a spouse, we needed to treat them like a queen. He treated my mom like a queen every single minute. He taught work ethic. You can ask Bob and the boys at Holiday Inn. At 77, no one could keep up with him. When Cops was busy, my dad was at the end of the checkout line bagging groceries, out bagging every young kid in the place. He taught integrity. He taught me that everything I did, whether it's weeding a garden, writing a paper, making a sign at Cops, building a display, facing shells, or coaching my teams, our name Winkler was behind that work, and always to do my best and do it until I got it done right. He taught loyalty. In high school, every event Pam, Todd, or I participated in, our dad tried to be there. His loyalty to his family carried over to his grandkids' performances as well. He spent almost as much time on the Fondy soccer fields as I did watching my boys play. He taught sacrifice. He could have accepted promotions many times that would have transferred him to Stevens Point and advanced him in the Cops Corporation. He did not want to move us once we were in middle school, and he loved his store, and we stayed in Rosendale. He taught servant leadership. He was an active member of the Lions Club in Rosendale, served on a school board, valued member of the Rotary Club. He never turned down requests to help and was generous with his time. He was determined to make this world a better place. To celebrate my dad's life and the lessons he taught us all, take the examples he set and try to put them into your own lives. My dad was never in a classroom, but he was teaching us every day. And his memory will carry on in all of us. And we will see him in our actions and the way we treat people from this day forward. As Vicki and I made our 22-hour drive up here, Vicki put on a Lee Brice CD. And I want to leave you with the chorus, "To Love Like Crazy," and for you to think about my dad while I recite these words. Just ask him how he did it. He'll say, "Pull up a seat. It will only take a minute to tell you everything. Be a best friend, tell the truth, and overuse I love you. Go to work, do your best. Don't outsmart your common sense, and never let your praying knees get lazy and love like crazy." Thank you.
Going for a high five, and then I didn't know what to do. Well, I'm his son. I'm one of the 8 grandkids for Dick. Grandkids are here. I was waiting for the switch all day. Nephews, nieces, son's daughter. Grandma, who beat me in arm wrestling twice this week. So don't think Jean's strong. She beat me in arm wrestling. But everyone's got a connection to him. How many people came up to you guys? He was like my dad. He was like my grandpa. And the thing with that is, that was great. There's 8 grandkids, the 3 kids, great-grandchildren. We hear all these people say, "He was my grandpa. He was like my dad. He was at my daddy." You know, I talked to a lady, her husband wasn't around, so she needed somebody to take their kids to a daddy-son picnic, and he did it. And we're not, like, jealous. That's the best. I don't know how sainthood works. This guy was amazing. It's just amazing. And with us being the immediate family and hearing everyone saying, "He's my grandpa, he's my dad," we didn't feel like that took anything away from us. we didn't feel like he wasn't there for us less because he was for other people as well. We didn't feel any of that. When you were with Grandpa or your uncle or your dad or Dick, he made you feel like you were the most important thing. And I, at first, when I heard he passed, or when the news finally was real, I thought that I was, I felt a little guilty. As being 32, I'm a little older than my brothers, my cousins, some of them. I thought, well, I had more time with them. And I worked with him at COPS. I got out-begged by him at COPS. I worked with him a little bit at Holiday Inn. And I felt like I had a little more time with him, but you can't measure time as time with Dick, because if you were with him, you know how valuable that time was. To my dad's point, he was there for everything. I mean, he was there for my soccer games. When I worked in radio here, he came to every remote. Grandma, you and him would come up. I mean, I could have been at Verizon, hawking cell phones. No one was there. You guys came. Thank you. We'd be at restaurants that, like, their last ditch effort before they closed was to have some event. You guys were there all the time. Plays when I did. I mean, you guys were at everything. And then there was no greater testament to that to when I came over to their house about 2 months before we were to get married. And think of a grandpa at a wedding, whether you've been to a wedding for your grandkids or whether your grandpa's been at your wedding. Grandparents at weddings have it easy. It's the easiest day. You get escorted down the aisle. You get the best seat. You get the food first. It's super easy. So 2 months before Nicole and I were to get married, I went to his house and I said, Grandpa, we didn't get married in a church. It was a chapel. I said, I'd like you to officiate the wedding. He wasn't ordained. I'd never heard him public speak or anything. I said, I want, as far as a guy that we want up there that portrays to us and me what faith is and what love is, and what a marriage should look like, I couldn't think of anyone else. And he said yes. I left the car. I think I talked to Grandma later. I don't think he knew what he agreed to. I have to do what now? The night before a wedding, he couldn't sleep. He was a wreck. And he got up here, and he killed it. He killed it. It was just the best memory. A picture was shared of him in that day, and just an incredible, incredible guy. He was always there for us. Then, being with the family last night, being here today, he's here. He's here, and he'll always be here for us. Thank you. Thank you, Grandpa.
So I'm Jordan, I'm Dick's granddaughter, and I'm going to be reading John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Skies may turn to gray. I understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand.
Good afternoon. My name is Don. I'm Dick's much younger brother. My brother, as you all know, was an incredibly good, kind, loving, generous person. And many of you know that from his life here in Fond du Lac. But these qualities were evident much earlier in his life, and that's what I'd like to talk about, growing up with Dick. Growing up, Dick, he was my protector, my defender, he was my hero. But he started out as a tiny baby, a little over 4 pounds. His mother said she was terrified at having to care for this helpless little creature, her firstborn. The Depression had hit that part of the country very hard, and Dick was born poor. Like many children of Wisconsin farm families, his home, which was located across the highway from Badger Community Church, where his mother played piano and organ for over 50 years, had no running water, no telephone, no central heating, of course, no air conditioning. They didn't have health insurance. I remember my mother saying once that the only money she could find in the entire house was 50 cents. But I'm sure what comes as the greatest shock to anybody who's young out there is that they had no computer and no internet. Dick's home was materially poor, but in many ways very rich, for he had parents who were the pillars of the church and their community. In late September of this year, we all met, Dick and Jean and my sisters, Cheryl and Candy and I, and we met together for the last time, and I remember telling Dick how important he was to all of us in our young lives, especially in that time before he left for the Army. And when he left for the Army, he graduated from high school and immediately went into the Army, and it was a somewhat fearful time for us. Dick replied that at the time he felt like he was abandoning us, but that sometimes you have to do what you have to do. Dick had an ability to give, and especially to forgive, that is quite frankly beyond my comprehension. He was non-judgmental. Family always came first. In addition to loving Jean in a storybook romance of almost 60 years and raising incredibly good and successful children, as you can see here today, he cared for his parents all their lives and most of his life. His love and care went far, far, and I actually want to put that in bold and italics and maybe underline it, far, far beyond what any parent might expect of their child. He set a very high standard, and I, for one, think it is something that our children should study and emulate. Okay. Of course, Dick wasn't perfect. He wasn't a particularly good shot. I remember, even though he was in the Army, but I mean, I remember hunting in the back woods with him when I was a boy. He was always best at shooting squirrels with his shotgun. He'd proudly bring them back to my mother, who quite frankly hated cooking them. But I don't think she ever said that to Dick. She fried them and made squirrel sandwiches. which I thought were pretty good, you know. And our family dentist did too. Dick, of course, was competitive, and in my young eyes, the greatest athlete to ever cross the thresholds of Wapaka High School. But that sense of competition has always left me with a nagging doubt about those hunting expeditions. I was smaller than Dick, so he always picked out the same light 22 for me to use. We'd be out in the forest and see our target, a mighty squirrel, 50 feet high in an oak tree, and Dick would raise his mortar-sized shotgun. It looked like a mortar to me, to my young eyes. He'd take aim. The forest would fall deathly silent until he pulled the trigger and a mighty boom filled the sky. I would follow Dick's example, and I'd find my target squirrel through my coke-bottom glasses, you can see here, raise the 22, and I could swear the squirrel began laughing. You know that sound they make? Well, he would do that. I thought, well, I've got you, buddy. You know, you're not moving. I'm ready for a squirrel sandwich with no buckshot. But my shot inevitably missed and would terrify some bird many feet away. So years later, I told this story to my father, who said, "Of course, we all knew the barrel on that 22 wasn't true. You always had to aim several inches to the left of the target." I'm sure Dick just forgot to tell that to me. The only other fault, and today many would simply say it was manly behavior, was Dick's many affairs, his love affairs with the automobile. I very clearly remember the first one. It was in the late 1950s. Well, Dick and Jean were still in high school. This one, she was black, and she was beautiful, and she had, well, let's say a beautiful design. And I remember Dick bringing her home and telling our mother, "I'm going to keep her forever." Her name was Pontiac, and she had white sidewalls, two doors, and an endearing front window visor that reminded me of a gigantic false eyelash. But she didn't last long. None of Dick's affairs did. Pontiac was soon replaced by a 1953 Buick, and Dick spent hours polishing her dark green paint and several tons of chrome. I remember him telling Mom, "I'm going to keep her forever." But of course he didn't. Dick's love affair with the automobile lasted his entire life. I'm not sure which was his favorite, but it may have been that sleek, pale green Studebaker coupe that even today makes today's cars look old-fashioned. I used to think that this pattern of changing cars as frequently as one has their teeth cleaned was a bit silly and unbecoming of such a virtuous man, but upon reflection, I realized that, in fact, it's entirely consistent with Dick's generous spirit. He didn't purchase cars to satisfy some basic materialistic need. No, he did it to help the poor. The poor, overly enthusiastic salesmen, and their equally poor, over-eager mechanics who always seemed to suddenly appear after the car was purchased. If Dick is ever elevated to sainthood, and in my book he certainly should be, he will undoubtedly be their patron saint. Thank you.
My grandpa was the most loving and generous and selfless man I have ever known. And I am one of many whose life is not the same because of his affection. As a child, my grandpa quickly became a powerful demonstration of love. He was for me no matter what I did. I was pinned very quickly in a kindergarten wrestling match when my grandpa stormed the floor to yell at the ref on my behalf. He took interest in me. He always had time for me. It was never too late for a spin on the moped, And when we were pulled over once for riding it wrong, he somehow made me feel like the police officer was wrong for stealing our fun. Most of all, I remember his embrace as warm and reassuring. As I grew older, I became aware of his relentless and joyful service to others, and his tenderness with his wife and his family, his patience with me as I learned to shift from first to second gear in his MG is almost incomprehensible. I was a fairly average athlete, but to him, I was a superstar. If I had a bad game, it was always everyone else's fault. He was really proud of me, and I always knew it. As an adult, his demonstration of love has become more of an example that I want to emulate in my own life. As I worked out my own faith, I began to see that my grandpa loved me just like Scripture says that Jesus loves me. Grandpa was who he was because he was a true follower of Jesus. Grandpa's example of love made it easier for me to understand God's love for me. It became clear that my grandpa was a vessel used by God to pour his holy and transformative love on me. Just a few weeks ago, when we were here visiting, my daughters each broke a toy car from my grandpa's collection. After his initial response of, "You broke two?" he responded to their request for forgiveness with, "You were forgiven before you ever broke it." This kind of love and forgiveness can only point to supernatural love. That is my grandpa's legacy. And as we remember him from here on out, his life will continue to proclaim that God, in his perfect love, sent Jesus to die for each of us, lost and broken people, so that each of us might find that freely flowing forgiveness and restoration in him. And not only did Jesus die, but he rose and conquered death once and for all so that those who trust him can share in his resurrection as my grandfather has. And it is this point that I know my grandpa would want me to make particularly clear. Salvation through Jesus is all he would have wanted me to talk about up here, because it is the only thing that gives meaning to life and death. You might be here today with some vague hope for grandpa. He would want you to know that he has now seen the face of God, and that the holy and forgiving love he expressed so well is offered to all, that Jesus stands with open arms to invite you into friendship with him just as you are. He is for you. You might be here today as part of a faith tradition, but cannot say that you've experienced transformative love. Grandpa might point you to Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And he would want us all to hear these words of love and invitation from Isaiah 43. I read them to him a few Sundays ago, and he simply said, with tears in his eyes, powerful words, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." On Sunday, my grandpa went to his true home, and he walked with new strength into the arms of Jesus. And just as he was able to confidently say, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith," he has now heard Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." I will wait with great confidence and anticipation for the day when I see him again in God's eternal kingdom. And Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away.
We're Scott and Pam Hanker. We're the daughter and son-in-law of Dick and Jean. And Dad was such a wonderful man. And he has left a lasting legacy to our family. He was a true example, as we've heard, of unconditional love, kindness, generosity, encouragement. And we'll miss him, but that's just who he was. But as Adam shared, it was more than just who he was. It's what he believed. He had a deep, rich faith in Jesus Christ, and that's what drove him. He wanted to connect with everyone, to show the love of Christ so that they too could come to that same relationship. The song we're going to sing is called The Other Side. And it speaks about the fact that the dad, he's in heaven right now. He's celebrating. And his prayer would be that everyone in this building right now would have that same faith, that same relationship, so that when it's our time to leave this world, we can see him on that other side. And that's what we're gonna try to sing about.
Sometime you make the choice. So when it's time you leave this world, he will hear your voice on the other side. Make sure you meet him there on the other side. We have no heart to Jesus. Don't put your faith in anything less. So one day we'll embrace on the other side. The world moves much too quickly, and time just gets away. Tomorrow seems much easier than doing things today. But don't make excuses. Don't put off what you know you should do. Just give your life to Jesus Christ, and he will see you through to the other side. Faith in anything less. So one day we'll embrace on the other side.
That was beautiful. Thank you for that. What a family, Gene. What a beautiful family. What a legacy. It's been spoken of. It's obvious. It's seen. And all who spoke, grandsons, grandkids, sons. Gene, you just have a beautiful family, and they are very rich for what this man gave them. Dick learned lessons along the way as well, and I think one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons he was such a good man is because he learned from a Heavenly Father. I'm going to read of him. John chapter 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has now overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but the light came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I think Adam rightly said today when he said if Dick was here and could talk to us, I think he is here and I think he's watching. But if Dick could speak to us right now, I think he'd say, enough about me. Let's talk about Jesus for a moment. The text that Jeremy just read, I have three things I want you to remember about Jesus Christ. Thing number one, Jesus Christ is the Creator God. The words that Jeremy read said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. I don't know what you think about Christianity. I don't know what your thoughts are concerning Jesus. But know this. The Bible teaches that Jesus was God. He was very God. It was he who spoke and the world existed. Paul wrote in Colossians that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. The faith that Dick had, that changing faith that Adam spoke of, that made him the loving father, grandfather that he was rooted in a faith in Jesus as the Creator God. Dick believed that. The Bible teaches that. We celebrate Jesus because of that. He is unique. There is no other person who has spoken and the world has existed but that person that is Jesus Christ. In this text, there's a second truth. I'm already point number two, okay? We're moving along here. Jesus is life. And Jesus is light. In those verses that Jeremy read, it says, in him was life, and life, the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We live in a broken world that is filled with darkness. We all marvel at how fast it went from finding out Dick was not well to finding out that Dick was gone. It just... What
What a picture of how broken and sick our world is, that a good man could be taken with us. As I watched Dick struggle this past week or so, I was reminded of how much I hate death. Death is separation. Death is darkness. Death has this final act about it. One day, Jean said to me that she and Dick recently were talking about heaven. And she was not sure of the state of his mind sometimes in these days. And she said, he said to me, heaven is going to be so bright. Well, confused or not, Dick was absolutely right. Heaven is going to be so bright because Jesus is there. Jesus is life and he is light. And there is going to be an eternal light in that place. We live in a world full of darkness. We live in a world of despair. We live in a broken world. But know this, that Jesus is life and light in this broken, messed up world. That Jesus is life and light, and eternity with Christ is an eternity with life and light. I'd like to celebrate one more thing. This is the most important one. And these verses, I believe, teach us that Jesus is Savior. I repeat again what Jeremy read. That was the true light. Speaking of Jesus, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. There's two phrases in that section that are disturbing, very disturbing. Here we have the Creator God, the very source of life, the very source of light, and he came, born of a virgin, and walked this earth, and spoke the word of God, did miracles like only God could do, and look what it says, the world did not know him, and his own, the Jewish people, did not receive him. And you have to ask, why? If the Creator God came and gave us life and light and spoke God's word, why would not we receive him? I think the answer is simple. Because of the descendants of our physical Adam, we are sinners. Every single one of us. In the obituary I read, they made the statement that he was a sinner saved by grace. Every single one of us was born estranged from God. We start out loving and worshiping ourselves. That's what's natural. I embrace the fact that I like me more than I like probably anybody else. Apart from God working in me, apart from God changing me, because the Bible says we love darkness. We love darkness because of our evil ways. The Bible says that on our best day, the very best thing we do is like a bloody rag. Like a dirty rag. The Bible says that it is our birth into sin and our continued living in sin and choosing to live in sin that earns us a place in hell, forever separated from God. But the Bible says God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were sinners, while we were estranged from him, while we were embracing the darkness, Christ died. Jesus died for us. And so this text says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right. And then it says, they that believed in his name. I believe the Bible teaches that all those that believe that Jesus is the Creator God, that he alone is light and life, that he gave himself, he came to this earth, lived a faultless life, and he died. He died in my place. There was a great exchange that took place, you see. God, who was eternal, took the place of me, who is mortal. God, who is all righteousness, took the place of me, who was completely sinful. And that happened the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I remember correctly from Dick's testimony as a boy, there in Badger Church, Badger Community Church on Highway 54 outside of Waupaca, Wisconsin, Dick received Jesus Christ, put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I, at Dick's memorial service today,
And I know with confidence that if Dick was here this morning, he would not be embarrassed by what I'm saying. He would not think I'm out of line to say this. On behalf of Dick, on behalf of the Christ who died for you, I ask you this morning, embrace this, that Jesus is very God. He alone is very God. Embrace this truth, that he alone is light and life, and we need that so desperately at a time like this. Embrace this truth, that you on your own cannot conjure this up. You cannot whip this sin thing that's in you. That you desperately need a Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus. Let's celebrate that at Dick's passing. That Jesus is the Savior who makes the difference, all the difference in the world. If you have not chosen Jesus to be your Savior, if you haven't put your faith, whether you be family or friend or business associate in Fond du Lac, and you came here today, you maybe weren't expecting to be challenged with this, but I challenge you to consider, have you chosen Jesus Christ to be your only Savior, your faith? Have you put your faith in Christ? I pray that you would do so. Father God, I love you and I thank you for loving us and I thank you for the opportunity to honor this good man. But as good as he was, he needed a Savior. As good as Dick was and as much as he mentored and was our friend, he would want us today to speak of Jesus. I pray, Father, that maybe at this time there might be someone here who would say, oh, I need this, God. And maybe they would in their heart right now say something like this, I believe in Jesus, that he is the Creator God who died for me. I acknowledge, I embrace my sinfulness, that I can't be good on my own. I ask that Jesus be my Savior. I receive him in my place as my righteousness. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I pray that you would bless this service, the things that were done here. I pray that you would comfort and strengthen those who are grieving. I especially again pray for Jean. But God, more than anything else, I thank you for Dick. I thank you for this good man, this friend of mine. And I pray, Father, that you would use the things done in this service, during this hour, for your kingdom and for the glory of God and the praise of the name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to, the next part of the service is going to be a military salute for Dick. And so I believe our guard is probably going to go. We're going to ask the pallbearers to meet with the funeral home people down here at the front. And we will lead you out. You're welcome to go down the ramp to the left to go around the funeral. The casket will be taken out front. And then the family has asked me to invite you to come to the Holiday Inn for dinner. If you're here at this service, you're invited to come to the Holiday Inn. And if you didn't get a chance, especially you were standing in line and you didn't get to see Dick yet. Sorry, you're not going to get to see Dick. But when I look at you, I just say Dick first. Or I just, if you didn't get a chance to speak with Jean and her family, they will be there and happy to greet you at that time.